The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
The Baal Chavis Alevovis seems to show a lot of concern for the level of, or the different levels and expressions of involvement that we have in Hishtadlus, in Sibois, in putting in efforts in this world, considering the fact that he has clearly indicated that everything is Nigzar and everything is decreed and ordained from Hashem. So he spends paragraphs and paragraphs dealing with this issue from the different perspectives of life's experiences. What are we doing? What are people doing? What does it mean? Hashem provides, so like, why all the different possibilities and working, and sometimes it comes this way and that way and the other way, and he's made a number of comments in that area. Another comment that he says, and this is where we're up to here, the yesh shemanig habeire tarpe rabbi mebnei odomai de ish echod mehem. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates it that the sustenance for many people come through one person. One person becomes the one who's responsible for sustaining families and maybe even societies. L'havchin b'zeh avodoso le'elokim meham roisei. What's the purpose of that? Why should it be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the world himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any agents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any help. This individual is certainly, in truth, irrelevant. So why should there be such a person who is in such an influential position that he is the one individual who is sustaining the parnosa for so many people? And he says it's lahavchin, to test him. This is merely, that's all it is, a test for the person, his service of Hashem versus his rebellion. In other words, the idea is that will he act appropriately or not? He's responsible for millions of dollars. He's responsible for billions of dollars. Will he act appropriately or not? It's a test for him. Hashem does not need him to be the conduit, to be the agent, to deliver for him, but rather it's a test to differentiate between his proper service and his potential rebellion. This is put as one of the major causes for him to be in this position, like the king who sustains his army and his servants. The melech has to sustain all these people. He has to sustain the army and his servants and the princes, the ministers, and the all the assistants and all the staff and the servants and so forth and so on, and the wives and their children, and umishtadlim ba'avuram lechazer al sibo. Kibbutz hamoma miponim tevin veroim, and he therefore for these people will make the effort to make the money, but the reason that he's put in that position is not because Hashem needs agency or an agent or anyone in any way, but Hashem is truly the one who is ultimately doing, taking care of, and responsible. Now he continues another piece, but before we get there, I'd like to. We've discussed many times that although the study of the halachos in depth, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says, can help sometimes almost more than limud hamusa bespilus, than reviewing in an emotional way and tone the concepts, just the study in depth. But we do need sometimes some other internalizing factors. And I'd like to share with you one of those factors that I think could be very helpful. We indicated from the Chavis Halavovas previously that one of the ways to develop true trust in Hashem is that when we express the words of trust, when we express the thoughts of trust, we stop to think Hashem knows whether it's real, whether it's heartfelt, or whether it's lip service. Are you just saying the words? I trusted in your kindness. Did you trust? Well, they're just saying it. If we stop to think that Hashem penetrates and sees whether in fact we're saying or whether in fact we're feeling, that can deepen the feeling. The awareness that He sees through, if it isn't the way it should be, can help us automatically to deepen the focus and to make it feel and to feel it the way it should be. That having been said, there are a lot of such opportunities. I think one of those opportunities is the modim that we say, modim anachnu loch, we say every day. And I wanted to review that just from the perspective of what we're saying, what we should be feeling, what we can deepen the feeling if we're aware that Hashem sees whether we're just lip servicing the words or whether there is feeling there, and that can deepen the feeling. And the deepened feeling of the recitation of Moedim can be an amazing means of internalizing the depths of this bitochon. Moedim anachnu loch, shu'atu Hashem Elokeinu v'elokei aviseinu l'olam v'ohed. We thank you. We are thankful to you. To you. Because you are Hashem, the Adon HaKol, the master of all, which means that you have everything under control and there's no need to panic, and there may not even be need for such great miracles because you are the Adon HaKol. You're doing everything, you're in control of everything, and that's the natural state of affairs. You're also the Baal HaRachamim, the one who has mercy on us. So Hashem Elokeinu. Elokeinu refers to our God, refers to the fact that you're the ruler, the controller, and you're also the judge. And the judge is also a very beautiful thing, because Hashem judges us because if, in fact, He can give us chesed when we deserve it, because we deserve it, the chesed is magnified. Because when I get something that I truly deserve, I can truly appreciate it. That I earned. When I earned it, I appreciate it. If I didn't earn it, if it's cheap, I don't deserve it, I can't really feel it. So He's Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei aviseinu l'olam v'ohed, forever and ever. This relationship that we have with Hashem, we thank Him because He is our God and the God of our fathers forever. And we are deeply appreciative of this relationship that we have. And this special relationship allows us to feel the confidence and reliance in Hashem. Tzur Chayenu, you are the rock of our lives. The Vilna Gaon explains, the Pasuk says, Tzur Chosoyu Boy, the rock in which I took refuge without a promise. Says the concept of Hashem being a rock is, it isn't as if He promised to take care of us. No, then you need a promise. It isn't as if we deserve to be taken care of. No. It isn't as if we've been admitted to His care. No. It's like a rock. A rock, when there's a rock, you take refuge under the rock. You run for shelter under the rock. That's it. Take refuge under that rock and He will protect you. He didn't have to invite you. He didn't have to promise you. You didn't have to deserve it in any way. Just take refuge. If you look to Him as the source of my refuge, He will in fact be that tzur chosoyu boy, that tzur that you, that rock that you can trust in. Tzur chayenu, the rock of our lives. We our lives take refuge in You constantly without any commitment, without any promise, without any deserving. Mogein yishenu. The Pasuk says, Mogein hu l'chol achrisim boy. To everyone who puts his trust in Him, Hashem serves as a shield. A shield means, the Goyin explains, that a shield is that whether or not I have put in any effort or not, Hashem shields me. He says, Melech Uizer Moshiach Umogin. A Mogin, a shield, is a protector. He protects me without any effort, even if I didn't put in any effort. Even if I didn't do anything. Even, he says more than going, even if I put myself in danger, says, oh, he's a Mashiach. Mashiach is one who saves without any effort. Morgain, he protects me even from danger that I put myself in. My level of trust and confidence in Hashem is so dramatic that even if I will put myself in danger, I know that He will be my shield. Tzur Chayenu, the rock of our lives. Mogen Yishenu, the shield of our salvation that saves us through this shield from everything and anything, despite the fact that we have made the effort, even without the effort, even with the negative effort, we put ourselves in the danger. He's still the Mogen Yishenu. Atuhu ledor vodor. You are for every generation. And this is a statement, not midor vodor, but lidor vodor. It's not about what you used to be. It's about what you continue to be for the future. So this is what Hashem is. Noidelecho unesaper tilosecho. And here the noidelecho, the we will thank you, is a statement of confidence. Not we thank you. Not we thanked you. But noidelecho, we will thank you. We'll forever thank you. We say at the end, we will thank you for all the things every day, three times a day. We will thank you. We are confident that we will certainly have that for which to thank you. It's a statement of bitochon. I say every day, we will thank you and recite your praises because we are so sure that we will have what to thank you for. For what? Al chayenu hamesurim biyodecha, for our lives that are entrusted to you. Al nishmeisenu hapkudeis loch, and for our neshomas that are given over as a pikotin for you when we sleep. And all the miracles that you do for us every day. And on the niflois and the good, not just b'chol yoyim, b'chol eis, every moment. And that refers to we will thank you, Hashem, in the Shmoneh Esrei three times a day, erev at night, boiker in the morning, and tzorayim to mincha in the afternoon. And this is a statement of, I'm so confident in the Chesed Hashem that I'm telling you now, I promise you, it's a promise, but I'm telling you, I will neidel chon sabit l'secho, we will thank you, al chayinu, am surim yodecho, al shmur yisayu, abgudos loch, v'chulei, v'chulei, because we're so confident. Now, if we say these words as words, then they're only words, but if we say these words with a feeling of what they truly mean, with a sense of bitochen, or as the Chavis HaLevavos says, if we say them and we know that Hashem is judging whether or not I really feel the trust, or I'm just feigning the trust, that recognition that Hashem knows whether I feel it or not will be a major catalyst in bringing it about that I will in fact feel a deeper sense of trust in Hashem. And then the end of this particular paragraph is also, I believe, a very profound thought which goes back to the past and explains not only our commitment to bitochen for the future, but the basis that that commitment to bitochen has in our past. Hatoiv, you are Hashem, the good one. Ki loicholu rachamecho, because your mercy never ends. Your mercy never ceases. V'hamerachim, and you're the merciful. Ki loisamu chasotecho, who, I guess it means, not because, but who, you're the good whose rachamim never ceases, and you're the merachim, you're the merciful, whose chesed never ceases. And then we say, Me'oilam kivinu loch, we've always trusted in you. And this is really why. This is really why. Why? Because we say like this. How do we trust Hashem? We say He's good. Okay. But He's good, ki lo'icholu rachamecha. He's not just good, but His mercy is endless. His mercy is endless, so He's not going to let us suffer. He's not going to let us be disappointed. He's not going to let us be embarrassed. He will respond to our trust in Him. Because if He doesn't respond to our trust in Him, where's His mercy? We're trusting in Him. We're counting on Him. I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm going to be so disappointed. Emotionally, I'm putting that trust in Him. He's Hatoiv. He's the good one. His rachamim never ceases, and I can count on Him to the liver. V'hamerachim, and he's the merciful. If he's the merciful, pilei samu chasodecha, whose kindness never ceases. Because I might say like this, I know he's merciful. I know he feels pain. I know he sheds a tear for my suffering. But is he going to do anything about it? He feels the pain. He feels the. He's the merciful whose chesed, whose actualization of the kindness doesn't stop either. So his mercy never stops, and his actualization of the kindness never stops. That's the winning combination. Me'olam kivinu loch. If I know that Hashem is the merciful forever, and the Baal Chesed forever, and both of those factors are there. It's not a mercy who just feels the pain and doesn't do anything about it. It's not a Chesed that's alone, but it's a Chesed that derives from the ultimate mercy. Hashem feels Rachamim. Hashem wants Chesed. Then I can count on Him. Me'olam. That's why forever and ever we have hoped and put our trust in Him, because that we are fully aware of these two midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth of the matter is that this very concept, I'm sure that we've mentioned it in passing, that the Vilna Goyin points out in Mishlei, that is the yesod of developing bitochon. He says the yesod of bitochon is based on can be based on what we say in Nishmas, in davening on Shabbos. Adheino azarunu. Until now, the Goyin learns Pshat in this, that which you helped us was Rachamecho. V'lo yazavunu, and that which you haven't forsaken us was Chasodecho. It's because of your mercy that you've helped us, it's only because of your chesed that you haven't forsaken it. V'al techeinu, Hashem Elokeinu L'netzach, therefore we ask you, don't forsake us for the future. And the Goyin learns that what we're saying is, I'm confident that until now what you did was only chesed v'rachamim. Therefore I am Batuach, I am sure, I'm confident, I'm bitochen, that you'll continue to do chesed rachamim for me. Because it says like this, if what you did for me yesterday was because I deserved it, not chesed and rachamim, not purely undeserved mercy and kindness, but something that's payment for what I deserve. If I deserved it, so then maybe yesterday I deserved it, and today I don't deserve it. But if all the chesed and rachamim that you did for me was only because of your kindness and not in any way because I deserved it, the kindness of Hashem is constant. That remains. Hashem doesn't change. Ani Hashem lo yishonisi. I don't change. Therefore, since Hashem doesn't change, if it was chesed and rachamim to an undeserving person that has helped me until now, I can count on that same chesed and rachamim for the future. Because if what I had in my past was because I deserved it, maybe today I don't deserve it anymore. How can I have bitochen? But if I know that everything until now was only chesed v'rachamim, not because I deserved it, then I can be confident that that chesed v'rachamim will never change, and therefore I can be confident and have bitochen about the future. Okay, I think that that's a worthwhile exercise that people maybe could practice, if you will, before davening, and when we say the Shemoneh Esrei, to think about that and to realize that to the degree that I think about what this means, and I can, and I realize that Hashem knows whether I'm saying words or whether I'm feeling emotions, it's to that degree that I can, in fact, with that awareness, deepen the emotion and truly begin to feel that total sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the foolish person will make three areas of mistakes when it comes to bitochen. Echad mehem, bekaptzei hamomoin, when he gathers a lot of money. Ki hu loikeach mashagozaloi haberi lekachto al ponim megunim veroim, vilu hoye mevakesh oiso al ofnov hoye magia el cheftzei uretzoinoi, hoye miskayim biyode inyan terosav elom vloy hoye chosim mashagozaloi haberi mom. He thinks that this foolish person thinks that he has to do things which are inappropriate. Megunim, meaning embarrassing, mean which are not nice, not makovedik for him, and roim, which are evil. I think, you know, with honesty, you know, honesty doesn't make it in this world. Well, we know how much dishonesty makes it. But honesty is not going to make it. Propriety is not going to make it. I got to do something which is a little bit magune, a little bit not so shame, a little bit not so nice. And I can't always be so honest in my business. And he thinks this is the way he's going to get his fortune. He doesn't realize alofono. If he would ask just in the right, normal way, the way it should be, he says, he would reach his desire and his will. Now this says something very strong. This means not that he would just reach his parnosa, he'd have his sustenance. Chefza means his desire. Ritzoinei is his passion, his will, he wants. So it's not only the things that I need, it's even the things that I want I would get. That I would get that would all be good. Nigzah from Hashem Ahoyim is Kayim Biyodu Inyan Toros V'Olom. And I would have the world, and I would have Torah, I'd be able to do everything right. And I wouldn't be lacking from anything that Hashem wants to give me. In any way, I will be getting everything. So a person does not have to do it. It's a terrible mistake of a foolish person to think that, well, times are bad, business is bad, I'm going to have to do some things which are not appropriate, I have to take a job which maybe is not lefi chvoidi, I have to do things that are not honest or proper. He says, no, that's a mistake, because what nigzar from Hashem, if you did the proper thing, you would be able to get it with the proper thing, and nothing will be diminished in any way from that which Hashem was gozer. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction here, because he seems to say you won't be lacking anything that Hashem was gozer from anything that gzera. But here he says you'll be able to get your desire. Well, what if my desire is more than what Hashem was gozer? He says if you don't do what's wrong, if you do everything properly, in its appropriate way, you'll be able to get your desires, because there's nothing that's going to take away from that which Hashem was gozer. It sounds like that Hashem designs the gzeira, his edict, to the desires and the will of the person. In fact, we say that in Ashrei, we say Peseach es yodecho, you Hashem open your hand, umasbia, and you satiate lechol chai, to every living creature, rotzoin, according to his desire, which means that that's Hashem's commitment. The gzeira of Hashem for parnoso is not just the gzeira of minimal sustenance. The gzeira is according to your desire, which I think means another lesson to us as well. And in times of difficulty, and in times of austerity, and in times of financial distress, or economic downturn, or downfall, a person should not give up the Chefetzei or Tzoynei. He should not compromise his desires, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is committed to do kol chai rotzoin according to his desires. So certainly when it comes to parnosa, certainly when it comes to sustenance, the person should not compromise in any way the chefetz and the desire that he has, because that, in fact, is what Hashem uses as the yardstick to which he is gozer. V'hasheni, says another mistake, ki hu choshev shekol ma shehigia eilov min hamomoin hu teref mezoinoi. He thinks that all of the things that he gets is the basis for his sustenance. He doesn't realize that this sustenance is divided into three categories. It's not all you're going to get is food to eat. You're just getting enough for food. No, there are three categories, the Chavis Al-Lova says. He says the sustenance that he has, which is the sustenance, the giving the food that he needs for his body alone, anyone who is still alive, who has a Ruach Chaim until the end of his days, he is promised that he will have this Teref Mozin, that he have what to eat. That's the Peseches Yodecho, umasbia lechol chai rotzoin. Every chai, every living creature is assured of having his sustenance. Vasheni teref mozen zulosoi. He says the second part is not just for your own sustenance and parnosa. There's something else that you get. When you, the gzeira that you get, the money that you have, is the, and I guess the idea is this, you know, some people say, oh, I just got a paycheck, let me go out and go drink it away. Or no, you have a family. What do you mean a family? My wife works. Let her take care of her. My kids, let them go out to work. No. You're getting the sustenance for the entire family. It's for you, plus it's for your family. Don't use it as if it was your own personal wealth. He's taking care of his wife and his children and servants and people who help them. These things are not promised to every creature in creation. These are only to special people with certain very specific conditions. And it happens at certain times, it doesn't happen other times. And they happen according to the rules of Chesed and the rules of Mishpot that Hashem deals with the world. So the decision of how much and when it's going to come for your wife, children, and servants, and your other people that are dependent upon you, that really depends upon Hashem's decision. And he says, "Kefisha machayvus halichos dini habirei," like the halichos of Hashem's rules are obligating machayv min hachesed v'hamishpot. And this, I think, is also a very important comment. The rules of Chesed and Mishpot. The world is an interaction, based on an interaction between Chesed and Mishpot. Hashem wants to do Chesed. That's true. The ultimate is Chesed. But He also wants to do Mishpot. Because Mishpot, the way I see it, is Mishpot makes the Chesed greater. He really wanted to create the world with Bereishis Bora Elohim, with the Midas Hadin, because then everybody would earn that which the schar which He gives them, and the earned schar is so much more pleasurable than the schar that I just take and really feel that I do not deserve. So that's the way it should have been. However, the world couldn't survive on Mishpat alone, so He tempered it with Chesed. So this is going to benefit from the concepts, the interplay between Chesed and Mishpot that Hashem decided to give him, and that's the food that he and the money that he has for his family, for his children. Shlishi, teref kinyan, v'ha momen asher ein boi to elis l'odom. Then there's a third type of money. People can't spend all the money on themselves. There are different tafkidim, there are different uses, there are different directives, there are different earmarks that the various monies that a person gets are. He says the third one is has no benefit for him. He is guarding it, and he's created it just to be able to pass it on to his children. All it really is a Yerusha for his children or to others. Maybe he's developing a whole business for somebody else, and then someone else is going to be able to take it over because that guy deserves it. You were just the agent to develop it for his benefit. He says, this sochol, this foolish guy thinks that everything Hashem has given him from money, which is his money, his sustenance of his body. And he runs to these things, and he's trying to get the. It's possible he'll do anything. He might even kill somebody because he's after this. He doesn't realize that it's all nigzar, it's all from Hashem, it's all coming to you. That which is coming to you will get, that which you're not supposed to get, you'll never get. And therefore, you know, take it easy. Don't get all bent out of shape. Ashlishi, shunoisin hatrofim lebaaleim k'meishet gazal lehem habere al yodav hu zecher tivosu lehem bohem kilo hu hetrifom behem v'chilkel oisam ischaset bom aleim. So he says the third mistake that the person makes I think that there's another person who he gives things to people. I made money. I invested your money and I made money for you. And I'm giving it. I says, hey, look what I did for you. You owe me one. Look what I did for you. You know, what do you mean you did for me? It's like Kodesh Baruch Hu does it. It was nigzar. It's k'moshe gozal imabur aliyodav who zeicher tevosol lehem bohem. He remembers. Remember. You owe me one. I did it. What you did? It's all the rabbeinu shlomo. Ki ilu who hitrifim bohem v'chil kolasiv. He sustained them. V'is chesed bohem aliyim. He did the chesed for them. V'roitzer shei. And he wants is that they should thank him and praise him so much for them, and they should serve him for this. And he'll be full of gaiva v'yigba v'ryom levo, and he'll lift up his heart v'yaniach hoidoso aleim, and he'll place his hoido on them v'yachshishim hoyo meinea oisom mehem hoyo nishorim etzlo. He says, he thinks about these people, he says, if they didn't get it, if they would have not gotten it, if I wouldn't have been so good to give it to them, I would have been able to have it for myself. And if not for him, they wouldn't have anything. Their panosa would cease to exist. He is that poor guy who's going to waste his time in this world because he thinks he really accomplishes. He thinks he's the one who does it. He thinks he's the one that brought it about, and they owe it all to him. And he's going to also lose his schar in Olam Haba because he's not performing with the right understanding of what this life and what this moment is all about. I think that this concept really does underscore something which I think is quite difficult to achieve. It's very hard. It's probably one of the hardest nisyonos for a person to act in a certain way. I'm just saying, I make this big business. I give jobs to 20,000 families, and supporting them all, and I work crazy hours, and I'm so overwhelmed, and I'm so dedicated, and I'm so committed, and this is my thing, and if I would step out of this business, it would fall apart completely, and all these 20,000 families are sustained through my efforts. It's very, and I'm successful at it, and I manage to pay, and I pay my payroll on time. It's very hard for such a person to look at himself and say, I'm just a puppet. I'm just a conduit. I'm nothing. It's very, very degrading. It's very, I don't know if it's degrading, but it's so difficult. I worked so hard. I did so much. I signed the checks. I deliver the funds. I raised the money. I've conceptualized this business. I have increased its bottom line every day for the last 20 years. No, I'm nothing. When it comes to the parnosa of these people, all you are is a person who's being tested by the position that you're in just to see if you're going to do it right or you're going to do it wrong. This is a completely different perspective on life. And I think that it's a critical perspective to be able to achieve, because to the degree that we actually believe that we have some influence in this world, it's to that degree that we're just fooling ourselves about what this world is really all about. And despite the fact that it's difficult for anyone to be willing to admit that he doesn't have the power, that he's lacking the powers, that the apparent success that he has achieved is really not him. When it comes to the money, he hasn't done anything. When it comes to his largesse and generosity to all these 20,000 families, he's really nothing. It's very hard. It's a very big nisoyan. But it's a very terrible mistake. Because I dare say, if a person really thinks that he's the one who's sustaining all these people, then it's kor of the kfira. What are you thinking? Who do you think you are? But the nisoyan is so tempting. It's so difficult. It's so painful to look at these situations and to see what I'm doing and to be able to rise above it and to say I'm not doing anything. It's all min hashamayim. On the other hand, it's so comforting. It's so, you know, when we believe that it's our efforts that are going to make the difference, it's a very nerve-wracking type of thing. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, it's not going to happen. And it all depends on me. And if I make a mistake, it's all over. And I have such a responsibility, and I'm pulling my hair out of my head, and how can I live with myself with such heavy responsibilities? And what if I fall short? What are you talking about? The Rabbeinu Shalom does everything. What are you talking about? You don't have any power. You can't do anything. All you can do is your effort that you put in, and, you know, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, you'll be matzliach. But I think that's a very important concept, and unfortunately, a widely misunderstood concept. You know, on many levels, we misunderstand it. Sometimes we think that we can do everything, and we have power, and we don't. And sometimes we think that there are others that have power, and they may also not be the power, but rather the power is only the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the powers, the apparent powers of the people, are only those people who, through their connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom, that they're able to do things and to deal with things and promise things that seem to have a very, very special level of Siyata Dishmaya. I think that just to close, I heard many years ago from a Rav in Los Angeles a story. And I guess the purpose of the story was to not to let people get carried away with the powers that allegedly belong to human beings, because the truth of the matter is that all power belongs only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a yisod in emuna, and that's a yisod in feeling bitochen. If I truly feel that I have no power, and it's all him, and he is totally involved and totally controlled, and add to that his chesed and rachamim, that's such a confidence booster, that's such a bitochen builder, that's such an inspiration. So the story goes that a woman who lived in a certain shtetl in Europe for many years, she did not have children, and she used to go to her rov for a brocha. Never happened. Once she finally comes to the rov and she says she sold all her possessions. And she bought a round trip ticket to Warsaw. A lot of the Hasidic Rebbes were there. She bought a round trip ticket to Warsaw. She's going to get a bracha from the Rebbe. Fine. She goes to Warsaw, and all she really had was her return ticket. She didn't have any money, and she sees that she needs money there to get in the gabbai and this, whatever it is. She turns around, and she never got to see the Rebbe. 9 months later, the Rav. She comes to the Rav and she wants to invite him to a bris. She had a boy. So the Rav says, wow, so wonderful, mazel tov. But what happened? She says, Rabbi, I want to tell you something very interesting. I went to Warsaw and I never got to see the Rebbe. And yet, I have this child. So the Rabbi tells her, he says, you see? If the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants to do it, he can do it without the Rebbe. And I think that's really a very important lesson. It's really all about him. Any tzaddik who has the ability to give a brocha, it's all because he recognizes that brochos and everything is leile kimu, everything stems from Hashem. And to the degree that we realize that, it's that degree that we could put our trust in him with a renewed vigor and be zeicher to have all the benefits of achieving bitochon Hashem.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.